Yesterday, Donald Trump, along with his Secretary for Health, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., long an anti-vaccine exposer, making a fairly, totally unsubstantiated claim that paracetamol has something to do with autism in children. If you're a pregnant mother and you take paracetamol, then your child will have autism. Here's a little bit of the press conference that Donald Trump gave, speaking about what's known by its brand name as Tylenol in the United States.
First, effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen, is that okay? Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol, during pregnancy can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. But with Tylenol, don't take it. Don't take it. Sadly, first question, what can you take instead? It's actually, there's not an alternative to that. And as you know, other of the medicines are absolutely proven bad. I mean, they've been proven bad with the aspirins and the Advils and others, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's Donald Trump there speaking alongside Robert F. Kennedy, the Food and Drug Administration Commissioner, Marty Markery, National Institutes of Health Director, Jay Bhattacharya, and Mehmet Oz, known as Dr. Oz, the TV personality in the United States, Administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, all appointed, of course, by Donald Trump into their positions, and now pushing this totally unsubstantiated claim that there's some link between paracetamol and autism, and making a number of really outlandish claims about childhood vaccinations as well. Now, there you go. That's what's happening. If you have a view on that, what's your opinion on it? What do you think is happening in America in terms of their health and the direction that they're going in? With me on the line to talk about this in more detail, I've got Dr. Eamon Shanahan, of course, from Farron 4, host of Health Matters every Wednesday afternoon with Deirdre Walsh on Talk About. Also, we've Jack Shanahan of Haven Pharmacy in Castle Island, who's an Irish Pharmacy Union member and editor of the IPU Review magazine. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining us on the programme. Dr. Eamon, look, what's your view on what's being pushed by the Trump administration and what they're telling people in America is going on with autism?
I can hear you, Jerry, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What's your view on what Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy are doing?
Okay, so I think two comments. The first one is that the general principles are that we encourage that women would be careful about medication they take during pregnancy, but many, many, many decades of studies, and very large studies, particularly from Scandinavia, from Sweden, where they have the best medical records in the world, have failed to show any connection between paracetamol and autism and pregnancy. Any associations that there are extremely, extremely weak. So no proven association between paracetamol or acetaminophen, as they call it in the United States, and autism.
Yeah, and that's the element here. What Trump is saying, what Trump is saying, this causes autism. Don't take it if you're pregnant. No.
That's not true. Well, let's put it this way. The evidence is not there for that statement. There is no question but that there has been an increase in the rates of autism worldwide, a subject to huge research, but it's an extremely complex topic, and to make a statement that it's due to paracetamol is a severe oversimplification.
Yeah, it certainly is. Jack Shanahan, what's your view on what's happening with health in America alongside this statement and what else is being pushed?
Oh, you know, you have to despair sometimes when you hear stuff like this coming out. As Eamon said there, you know, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever to substantiate any idea that paracetamol use in pregnancy is associated with kind of neurodevelopment, you know, ADHD, autism, any one of those type of issues. We know that there is a huge genetic component involved in these. There may be environmental triggers that kind of magnify things and maybe affect them. But I suppose the bottom line is, as Eamon has said, is that, you know, paracetamol is, it's been around a long, long time. It's been used for a long, long time. It's still the only thing really that's suitable for use for both pain and high temperature in pregnancy. And, you know, the I can't see, you know, unless some extraordinary smoking gun came out, which there's no evidence that there is one, you know, then we're going to continue to use it for a long time to come. Yeah. And in relation to the general question about science, I mean, that's just a bigger issue. You know, I mean, you have, I mean, you have at the head now of the, you know, the equivalent of the Minister of Health, RFK Jr., who is a lawyer and has particular viewpoints on an awful lot of things that are not backed up by evidence, but he is in a position of enormous power. He has cut a lot of science funding. He has changed the composition of committees that make vaccine recommendations, filling them with people that would have not necessarily the best qualifications to make those decisions. And all in all, you know, it's really not good for America. And I think by extension, it's not particularly good for the rest of the world either, because one of the things they've done now is they've cut funding in relation to mRNA vaccines, which, you know, we're all familiar with those. They've been around now since 2021, there, you know, they were the, I suppose, the mainstay of the COVID vaccines, and the, you know, and they're a really exciting technology for producing other types of treatments, including vaccines against certain types of cancers. So, you know, it's an important field. It's one that's really good for humanity, and, you know, to have kind of politics, you know, interfering with science is just, it's a bad news story all round.
Yeah. Eamon, when it comes to that sort of situation where and one of the focuses here of the Trump administration seems to be, and Robert Kennedy seems to be, and he believes that autism, or so-called an increase in autism, must be caused by environmental toxins or chemical toxins or the big pharma companies, that they're being reckless with safety and reckless, that there must be a cause, a direct cause for this that's man-made. Which, again, the evidence does not support. They're putting money now into researching the causes of autism, as if it's something that can be prevented or cured.
I think we should never say never. The situation is that there has been certainly an increase in the rates of, as Jack said, the neurodegenerative disorders. Part of the issue is we don't understand. We don't know why these are happening. I think my concerns are, and you just go back to basics, to say that paracetamol is the cause of autism is, unfortunately, a gross oversimplification.
Yeah, and it totally is. That's they've given this advice to doctors now in the United States. So the question is, where does that go from him? Will they stop prescribing paracetamol and tell pregnant women, well, you're just going to have to do without it?
Part of the concern there is that if federal agencies in the United States have directed doctors to do this, if something happens to somebody afterwards who has taken autism, that leaves those doctors open to litigation. So quite understandably, doctors are certainly going to stop prescribing paracetamol in pregnancy. The difficulty, and even President Trump admitted it himself, we really don't have any alternatives. The difficulty is that women will have headaches, women will run temperatures during pregnancy. Where are they supposed to go? And the answer is they have nowhere to go. All I can say again is that the many, many years of huge study have failed to prove any association between the use of paracetamol and autism and other neurodegenerative disorders. And where appropriate and used sensibly, there is no reason why women who are pregnant can't continue to use paracetamol, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Eamon, what are the consequences if a pregnant woman has a fever and doesn't take paracetamol?
It's more to do with comfort than anything else. The paracetamol of itself is unlikely to correct the underlying cause of the temperature. And there are obviously many reasons why women can run temperatures, as indeed why many, many people can run temperatures. It's not a great idea if somebody runs a very high temperature. Mild temperatures are the body's defense mechanism, but high temperatures might be injurious to the mother and possibly to the baby. So there are certainly times when paracetamol will be very, very necessary. But quite apart from that, there's just the milk of human kindness, which is what's missing. The reality is that anybody who's got a headache or anybody who's running a bit of a temperature or has a cold certainly would like to feel a bit better. And essentially what they're being told is, sorry, you have no options.
Yeah, yeah. Jack, how concerned would you be in the wider front of what else is happening with regards, and this was talked about at yesterday's press conference as well, that Donald Trump was suggesting, without any evidence again, that many vaccines are unsafe as currently given, and that he's talked to Robert Kennedy about proposed changes. Some changes already true. They're ordering states to drop the number of vaccinations given to children and to babies. The normal run-of-the-mill vaccines that have been given all over the world to prevent that do prevent huge numbers of preventable diseases, that's all being rolled back on now in the United States.
Do you know, anti-vaccine isn't new. I mean, since vaccines came out, there have been people that have been worried about vaccines, and I'm going back hundreds of years now at this stage, that was unnatural and was kind of, introducing, some kind of foreign agents into the sacred body. And the reality is that every day, every moment of every day, every human being is exposed to absolutely loads of things that spark off immune responses. And we have, over the years, designed some really effective vaccines that will help to prevent or mitigate, in other words, to reduce the symptoms of, serious illnesses. And the idea that somehow, a typical child, according to the science, is exposed to anything up to 20,000 different things that can spark an immune response every day. And the thought that a few extra items going into their systems is somehow going to cause immune overload, which is the kind of the theory that they're proposing, it's farcical. It's not backed up by science, and it's just simply an inability to understand the science that leads people to make these kind of crazy assumptions. So yeah, it's just bad news all around. I mean, I have family in the States, and it's funny, one of my fellas went over to the States when he was going to college. He had to, one of the things he had to do was to fill out a form of his complete vaccine history, and he wouldn't even be allowed even inside the door of the college without having his full vaccination history, including vaccines that we don't even use here in Ireland. And and we're gone to a situation, where that kind of public health initiative is actually being turned on its head, and you could be looking at a country that will have measles coming back, and God knows what else. It's just an anti-science thing. It's just a complete inability to understand the reality of what's there, and it no good will come of it.
Okay, Eamon, would you be as concerned about that? I mean, there are changes. They're talking about spreading vaccine doses over 4 or 5 years, splitting up the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, into 3 separate shots, delaying the hepatitis B vaccine for more than a decade for children. That would leave them open to all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, I fully agree with what Jack has been saying. The difficulty is that on the one hand, we are exposed to what we call antigens every day, every second, every day. Secondly, that these vaccines have been proven to be effective. They have made a dramatic improvement, particularly in child health. I think one of the particular problems, one of the particular worries, is that it's those who are already at risk of ill health are going to be impacted even more by these changes. We know, for example, that there is a social gradient in terms of health, that those people who are at a disadvantage or disadvantaged are the ones who are disproportionately affected by what used to be considered the mild childhood illnesses, the measles, mumps, German measles, and so on. and they are coming back. There's no doubt they're coming back, and we're going to see both death and disability. As a medical student 40 years ago, I remember seeing these cases mercifully for most of my career. I've not had to see the consequences of these so-called childhood illnesses, but the concern and the huge concern is that these will come back, and we will see an increase again in deaths in the already marginalised and in those who are disadvantaged, and indeed in those who are healthy otherwise.
Yeah, indeed. And that is very, very worrying indeed. Okay, gentlemen, thanks to both of you for talking to us about that in the programme this morning, giving us your reaction to it. That's Jack Shanahan of Shanahan's Pharmacy in Castle Island. I say Haven Pharmacy, I say in Castle Island. Irish Pharmacy Union member and editor of the IPU Review magazine as well. And Dr. Eamon Shanahan there from Farn4, of course. He's on with Deirdre Walsh on Wednesdays for Health Matters.